it's hard to continue to grow at the rate you've grown in the past because the company has gotten so big. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that. And my second question, which is totally unrelated, but I've also read where you're very good with numbers, with working things in your head, and I'm totally a rookie when it comes to economics and accounting and things like that, but I'm very good with numbers and keeping things in my head, and I'm wondering if there's some way a mathematician who knows very little about the business world, what I could read or what I could do to learn how better to invest and how you did that.
Well, going to the first question, when you say it's going to be hard, it's going to be impossible. I mean, that's the answer. We cannot compound money at 23% from a $12 billion base. We don't know how to do that, and it would be a mistake for anybody to think that we could come close to that. We think we can do okay with money, but we did not start with a $12 billion base, and we've never seen anybody in the world compound numbers like that at that rate, so we'll forget it, that part of it. But there are intelligent things we can be doing. The second part of the question, I don't think any great amount of mathematical aptitude is not aptitude, but mathematical knowledge is advanced math is of no use in the investment process. An understanding of mathematical relationships, sort of an ability to quantify a numeracy, as they call it, I think that's generally helpful in investments because it's something that tells you when things make sense or don't make sense, or sort of how an item in one area relates to something someplace else. But that doesn't really require any great mathematical ability. It really requires sort of a mathematical awareness and a numeracy. I think it is a help to be able to see that. I mean, I think Charlie and I probably, when we read about one business, we're always thinking of it against a screen of dozens of businesses. It's just sort of automatic. But that's just like a ball, you know, a scout in baseball thinking about one baseball player against an alternative. I mean, you only have a given number on the squad, and they're thinking, you know, one guy may be a little faster, one guy can hit a little bit better, all of that sort of thing. And it's always in your mind you're prioritizing and selecting in some manner. My own feeling about the best way to apply that is just to read everything in sight. You know, I mean, if you're reading a few hundred annual reports a year and you've read Graham and Fisher and a few things, you'll soon see whether it kind of falls into place or not. Charlie?
Yeah. I think the set of numbers, the one set of numbers in America that are the best quick guide to measuring one business against another are the value line numbers.
I'd agree with that.
That stuff on the log scale paper going back 15 years, that is the best one-shot description of a lot of big businesses that exists in America. I can't imagine anybody being in the investment business involving common stocks without that thing on the shelf.
And if you sort of have in your head how all of that looks in different industries and different businesses, then you've got a backdrop against which to measure. I mean, you know, if you never watched a baseball game and never seen a statistic on it, you wouldn't know whether a 300 hitter was a good hitter or not. You have to have some kind of a mosaic there that your thinking is implanted against, in effect. And the value line figures, they cycle it every 13 weeks, and if you ripple through that, you'll have a pretty good idea of what's happened over time in American business.
By the way, I pay no attention to their timeliness ratings or stock ratings.
None of that means anything. It's too bad they have to put that there, but that it's the statistical material, not the...
I would like to have that material going all the way back. They cut it off about, 15 years back?
Yeah, but I saved the old ones.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wish I had that in the office, but I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, we, Charlie and I, maybe even I do it more. We tend to go back, and I mean, if I'm buying Coca-Cola, I'll probably go back and read the Fortune articles from the 1930s on it or something. I like a lot of historical background on things just to sort of get it in my head as to how the business has evolved over time and what's been permanent and what hasn't been permanent and all of that. I probably do that more for fun than for actually decision making, but it I think it is. I think if you think about, if we're trying to buy businesses we want to own forever, you know, and if you're thinking that way, you might as well see what it's been like to own them forever and look back a ways.